Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is the Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, let's jump right in, shall we? Today, we're dissecting Prudential Financial's Q3 2024 performance. Kind of like a financial autopsy, but without the mess. We've got their 10Q report and the transcript from their earnings call. Don't let that scare you off. There's some seriously interesting stuff buried in there.
Oh, absolutely. It's like piecing together a puzzle, you know? Trying to figure out their game plan from all these documents. Today, we'll uncover how they're tackling those wild interest rates, their big bets, and if their long-term strategy actually makes sense.
Exactly. First things first, Prudential isn't some massive uniform blob. It's more like a financial ecosystem with different players, different species, if you will. You've got PGM, their global investment arm. Then there are the U.S. businesses, you know, retirement insurance, all that. And don't forget their international ventures and that closed block division for the legacy stuff.
Yeah, and each one plays its own distinct role in Prudential's overall financial picture, like instruments in an orchestra. We'll see which ones are hitting the high notes and which ones, well, might be a little off-key. And remember, we're using adjusted operating income as our guide here. It cuts through the clutter and shows us how those core businesses are truly performing.
Right, gets to the heart of it. So PGM, let's start there.
Yeah.
Their investment management arm, they're managing almost $1.4 trillion. That's a mind-boggling number. Mm-hmm. And their assets under management grew significantly last quarter. It wasn't just the market going up, right?
No, definitely not. Lower interest rates were a factor for sure. But what's really fascinating is their success in private capital deployment. They're pouring money into things like real estate debt and equity, private credit, you name it. They're not afraid of a little risk, are they?
So what's their secret? How are they so good at this high stakes game?
Well, it's not just luck. They've got this incredible team of experts, people who really understand these specialized markets. And they have the scale to make moves that smaller players simply can't. It's like they're not just fishing in the same pond as everyone else. They're going after the big fish in deeper waters.
Makes sense. The report also mentions PGM is in a great position to capitalize on the growing demand for fixed income products. And not just from big institutions. Everyday investors are getting in on that action, too.
Absolutely. And PGM is smart to diversify, to expand their clientele. It's like a restaurant, right? If they only serve one dish, they're missing out on a whole bunch of hungry customers. Offering fixed income to a wider audience, that's a smart move, opens up a whole new revenue stream.
Speaking of navigating tricky waters, let's talk about interest rates. They've been all over the place lately, and that's got to be a major concern for a company like Prudential.
No doubt about it. Interest rates are like the tide. They can lift all boats or they can leave some high and dry. Prudential knows this, of course, and they're actively managing their assets and liabilities to stay afloat, so to speak.
So what are they doing exactly to ride out this interest rate storm? Are they just, you know, battening down the hatches and hoping for the best?
Not at all. They've got a whole toolbox of sophisticated strategies. Think strategic asset allocation, hedging strategies. These are tools that help them mitigate the risk that comes with those fluctuating interest rates.
Okay, so they're not just taking it on the chin. They're fighting back. I also saw that they're getting more selective about products they offer, repricing some, even discontinuing others that aren't hitting those profit targets.
Yeah, smart move. If no one's ordering a dish, why keep it on the menu, right? In a tough market, you got to focus on what's working, cut your losses on what's not. Efficiency, agility, that's the name of the game.
All right, let's move on to their U.S. operations. Their retirement strategies business had a stellar quarter, over $14 billion in sales. What's driving that growth?
Both their institutional and individual segments are doing incredibly well. On the institutional side, they closed some huge pension risk transfer deals. One with IBM was a whopping $6.3 billion. And they're also crushing it in longevity risk transfer.
Hold on, pause for a second. pension risk transfer. I know it sounds important, but could you break that down for us?
Sure. Imagine a company has a bunch of retirees, right? They have to pay pensions to all those people. It's a massive financial responsibility. So they might decide to transfer that risk to an expert like Prudential. Prudential takes over those payments. The company can focus on its main business. Everybody wins.
So it's like handing off the baton in a relay race, but with, you know, billions of dollars on the line.
Exactly. And Prudential is winning that race big time. They currently hold about 40% of the entire pension risk transfer market, a huge vote of confidence from companies who trust them to handle these complex transactions.
Wow, 40%. That's like owning almost half the pizza at a party.
Right. Shows you how dominant they are in this area. And that success comes from years of experience, a deep understanding of the risks and opportunities involved. They've built a solid reputation as the go-to experts for pension risk management.
Impressive. And on the individual retirement side, sales hit $3.6 billion, their best quarter in over a decade. People are planning for their golden years, even with all the economic uncertainty.
It speaks volumes about Prudential's brand, the trust they've built with individual investors. They offer a wide range of products, from simple IRAs to those more complex annuities. There's something for everyone, basically.
Speaking of annuities, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Variable annuities. They're a big part of Prudential's retirement offerings, but they come with some inherent risks, right?
They do. Unlike fixed annuities, which guarantee a certain rate of return, variable annuities are tied to the performance of investments. So if the market tanks, the value of your annuity can go down too.
It's a bit of a roller coaster ride then. You could end up cheering, or you could end up feeling a little sick.
Uh-huh. Yeah, great analogy. And it's not just market ups and downs they have to worry about. There's interest rate changes, how long people are expected to live, even how many people decide to withdraw their money early. All those things can impact the profitability of those variable annuities.
So how's Prudential managing all these risks? Seems like a lot to juggle.
Well, first, they design their products with features that limit their exposure to those extreme market swings. Think of it like safety harnesses on that roller coaster.
Okay, built-in safeguards. What else?
They also have their asset liability management strategy, or ALM. It involves using things like fixed income instruments and derivatives, like shock absorbers, cushioning those unexpected bumps in the road.
They're thinking ahead. But even with those safeguards, sometimes you need to share the risk, right?
Absolutely. That's where reinsurance comes in. They transfer some of that risk to other companies, like that recent deal with Augustar, $10 billion of their PDI traditional variable annuity contracts. It's like sharing the roller coaster ride so you don't get too queasy.
Spreading the risk. Smart move. Especially in a market that's as unpredictable as this one.
Definitely requires a deep understanding of those variable annuities and a willingness to make bold moves. We're talking billions of dollars here, so the stakes are high.
Before we move on, let's take a quick look at their international businesses. Looks like they're seeing some strong growth there too, especially in Japan. What's fueling that success?
Their international business is definitely performing well. Sales in Japan are booming thanks to those new retirement and savings products. They're designed specifically for the Japanese market, you see.
So they're not just using a one-size-fits-all approach?
Nope, not at all. They're strategic about catering to each market, you know, demographics, cultural nuances, all that.
What about their product mix? Anything interesting happening there?
They've been intentionally shifting towards more yen-based sales in Japan. A smart move. It diversifies their currency exposure and taps into the growing demand for those yen-denominated products.
Like a chef adjusting their menu to what the diners are craving. Now, beyond Japan, are they looking at any other international markets?
Absolutely. They're committed to expanding into emerging markets, especially ones with high growth potential and a real demand for financial services, like planting seeds and fertile ground and watching them grow.
Playing the long game, I like it. Speaking of long-term thinking, let's talk about their overall financial strength.
Yeah.
Capital and how it's deployed. That's crucial in the financial world.
Mm-hmm.
How's Prudential looking on that front?
They're in a very strong position. They've got impressive regulatory capital ratios. Think of it like a financial fortress protecting them from any unexpected losses. They're committed to maintaining a rock-solid balance sheet, exceeding those LA financial strength standards. Maintaining trust and stability, that's paramount in this industry.
Building a financial bunker, are they?
Exactly. And they're not just hoarding cash in that bunker either. They're deploying their capital strategically, prioritizing financial strength and flexibility, investing in their businesses for long-term growth. And they're rewarding their shareholders, of course, through dividends and share buybacks.
So balancing growth with giving back to investors, a delicate dance for sure.
It is. And what's really interesting is the strategic shift towards longer term thinking. They're moving away from those detailed quarterly disclosures and will introduce new intermediate term financial targets starting in 2025.
Less focus on those short term wins, more emphasis on the long game.
Precisely. It's like saying, look, we're not playing checkers here, we're playing chess. They're confident in their strategy and believe in their ability to deliver sustainable results over the long haul.
Bold move. But it shows they're thinking about the future, not just the next quarter. And this shift is also evident in their strategic divestitures, like that $11 billion guaranteed universal life block they reinsured with Wilton Re.
They're like a sculptor, you know, carefully chiseling away at their portfolio to reveal something more defined, more streamlined, shedding those non-core businesses, doubling down on areas with high growth potential. They're transforming themselves into a leaner, more efficient machine.
They're not afraid to make tough decisions. That's admirable, especially in an industry as complex and ever-changing as this one.
It takes courage to disrupt yourself. And Prudential, well, they seem to have that in spades.
So they're making big bets, taking calculated risks, reshaping their business to thrive in a world that's constantly changing. They're not content with just staying afloat. They want to ride those waves and chart their own course.
Absolutely. That's what makes them such a fascinating company to study. They're not just reacting to the market. They're actively shaping it.
It's clear Prudential is making strategic moves to adapt and thrive in a challenging financial landscape. They're not afraid to make bold decisions, and they're laser-focused on building long-term sustainable value for everyone involved. But what does all this actually mean for their future?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? We've laid the groundwork by understanding their current strategy and performance, but now we need to connect the dots and see if we can predict where they're headed.
All right, let's put on our detective hats and dive deeper into the clues hidden within these documents. We'll analyze their financial health, their risk management strategies, and their long-term plans to see if they're truly set up for success.
Whew. We've covered a lot, haven't we? From PGIM's investment magic to Prudential's moves in the retirement world and those international markets. But what does it all add up to? What's the big takeaway for someone like, you know, our listener trying to understand how Prudential's doing?
Right. It's like we've got all these pieces of the puzzle, but what's the picture they make?
The key takeaway, I'd say, is that Prudential isn't just weathering the storm. They're actively shaping their own future. They're making strategic decisions, not just reacting, to reshape their business, manage risk, and position themselves for long-term growth.
They're not just playing the game. They're changing the rules as they go. Like ditching those super detailed quarterly reports and focusing on the long term, that's a big statement. Shows they're confident in their strategy and think they can deliver sustainable results over time.
Exactly. Long game. That's their focus. And you see it in how they deploy capital. They're investing heavily in their core businesses, especially retirement and asset management. Those are their growth engines.
You're laying up for the long haul, huh?
Yeah, precisely. But they're not forgetting about the passengers, the shareholders, right? Yeah. Keeping them happy with dividends and share buybacks. It's about short-term performance and long-term value.
Balancing act, for sure. Okay, let's zoom in on some of the specifics that really jumped out from these reports.
Yeah.
PGM and their success with private capital deployment. They're pouring billions into real estate, private credit, all those alternative investments. Why are they so gung-ho about these riskier assets?
Imagine this. You're an investor, right? And interest rates are, well, in the basement. You want decent returns, but those traditional investments just aren't cutting it. That's where these alternative investments come in. Potential for higher returns, but yeah, more risk too.
So it's like going off the map searching for hidden treasure.
Yeah, kind of. And PGM, they have the map and the experience to navigate this tricky terrain. They've been building a team of specialists, people who really know these markets. Plus, they've got the resources to make big moves. You know, the kind of smaller players just can't.
They're not just dipping a toe in, they're diving right in. And it's paying off. Their assets under management have exploded. Investors are buying what they're selling, clearly.
Rock stars of the alternative investment world, you could say. Another thing that stood out to me was Prudential's dominance in the pension risk transfer market. Remember that relay race analogy? Passing the baton with billions of dollars. Prudential's like the Usain Bolt of that race.
Yeah.
40% market share. Incredible.
Winning by a mile. How'd they manage to grab such a huge piece of that pie?
It's a few things. First, they've been in the pension game forever. They know the complexities, how to assess risk, structure deals, manage these huge obligations over the long term.
Experience is key then.
Absolutely. But they're not just coasting on that. They're innovating, coming up with new products, making things more efficient. They're the trusted experts. That's why companies keep coming back to them.
The Michelin star chefs of pension risk transfer. Okay, let's shift gears to their international business. Japan's doing great. What's their secret there?
Remember that chef analogy, adjusting the menu to different tastes? That's what they're doing in Japan. You've really taken the time to understand Japanese investors, what they need, what they want, and tailored their products accordingly.
So it's not just about taking their American products and, you know, slapping a Japanese label on them.
Nope, definitely not. It's about localization. Like, they've been shifting towards yen-based sales. Makes sense for Japanese investors who want to minimize currency risk.
Like translating a book, right? You can't just swap words. You got to capture the meaning, the nuance.
Exactly. Their success in Japan shows their commitment to understanding and serving those local markets. It's not world domination with a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about building relationships in each region.
Becoming citizens of the world, speaking different financial languages. Okay, let's talk about something that's always top of mind these days. Risk. Prudential is definitely focused on mitigating those risks, especially with interest rates being so unpredictable. What are they doing specifically to protect themselves and their investors?
Imagine you're building a house, right? But it's in a hurricane zone. You're not going to use just any materials. You'll pick the strongest, most resilient ones to weather those storms. That's what Prudential's doing with their risk management strategy. Multiple layers, building a financial fortress.
So it's not just about hoping for the best. It's about preparing for the worst case scenario.
Exactly. They're actively managing their assets and liabilities, using hedging to reduce their exposure to those interest rate swings, like shock absorbers on your car, smoothing out the bumps.
Makes sense. But even with shock absorbers, you can still hit a pothole that throws you off. What are they doing to avoid those financial potholes?
Well, they're being super selective about the products they offer. Remember that restaurant analogy?
Yeah.
They're constantly checking the menu, taking off dishes that aren't popular, adding new ones that people want.
So not afraid to make tough calls and cut their losses on products that just aren't working.
Exactly. It's about staying flexible, adapting to the market, and they're not just relying on their own expertise either. They're using reinsurance, transferring some of that risk to other companies.
Like a safety net under the trapeze.
Yeah.
If you fall, you're not going to crash.
Precisely. Reinsurance provides that extra layer of protection, especially for those variable annuities where the risks can be, well, pretty big.
Now, I noticed Prudential has been making some strategic divestitures, like that $11 billion guaranteed universal life block they reinsured with Wilton Re. Seems like they're slimming down to become more agile. What's the thinking there?
They're doing some financial Marie Kondoing, you could say. What? Getting rid of stuff that doesn't spark joy anymore.
Love that analogy. So decluttering the business, focusing on what matters, creating a leaner, more efficient operation.
Exactly. These divestitures are all part of their plan to become a higher growth, more capital efficient company. They're shedding those non-core businesses, the less profitable ones, and using the money to invest in areas with more potential.
Pruning the tree, so to speak. Getting rid of the dead branches so the healthy ones can thrive.
Exactly. Focusing their resources where they'll have the biggest impact, positioning themselves for growth.
Okay. We've covered their investments, their risk management, their international expansion. Big question. Are they well-positioned for the future?
Million-dollar question, right? Based on what we've seen, I'd say they have a lot going for them. Diversified portfolio that's a buffer against market volatility. Strong track record with risk management gives them the confidence to navigate uncertainty.
Not a one-trick pony, a whole multi-talented act.
Exactly. And they're disciplined about how they use their capital, investing wisely, but also rewarding those shareholders.
Ultimate multitaskers, juggling all those priorities without dropping the ball.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But gotta remember, no company is immune to challenges.
Right. Always surprises in the financial world.
Always. But with their current strategy, their risk management, their focus on innovation, I think Prudential is well equipped to handle whatever comes their way.
Company to watch for sure. But before we wrap up, let's look closer at their transparency, how they communicate with investors. I noticed they're planning to pre-announce their variable investment income in the future. Why is that a big deal?
It's a smart move. Shows they're committed to open communication. Remember those variable annuities, the roller coaster? Well, their investment income can be just as unpredictable. Ups and downs, you never know. By pre-announcing it, they're saying, hey, we know this part of our business can be volatile, but we're being upfront about it.
Like giving investors a heads up before the roller coaster starts so they can brace themselves.
Exactly. Builds trust. Shows Prudential is confident in their ability to manage those swings. No hiding, just being upfront about the risks and rewards.
Refreshing to see a company prioritizing transparency, especially in an industry that's, well, not always known for it.
Definitely. It's a sign of strength, not weakness. They're showing their hand, letting investors make informed decisions.
Playing the game fairly.
Precisely. And that makes them a company worth keeping an eye on.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive into Prudential Financial. Feeling like we've peeled back the layers, got a much better understanding of their businesses, their strategy, what the future might hold.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. But thinking about the road ahead, you know, it makes you wonder what other moves Prudential might have up their sleeve. What kind of innovations or maybe even acquisitions are they considering to really cement their position in this ever-changing financial world? What do you think they should focus on going forward?
Great question. And I'm sure that's something Prudential's leadership team is grappling with right now. Given their focus on higher growth, becoming more capital efficient, I think we'll see them keep investing in technology, especially things like, you know, data analytics and artificial intelligence.
Absolutely. It's not just about crunching numbers anymore. They're using tech to make smarter decisions, even create a more personalized experience for their customers.
So they're not just a financial institution. They're becoming a tech powerhouse, too. And given their success in Japan, I wouldn't be surprised if they set their sights on other high-growth Asian markets.
Right. They've gotten a taste of that international success, and they want more. The demand for insurance, retirement solutions, it's only going to explode in those regions. Populations aging, wealth growing. It's a smart move to get in early, establish themselves as leaders.
The Lewis and Clark of finance, exploring new frontiers.
Uh-huh. I like that. Another area to watch, I think, is sustainability. Investors, they really care about this now. They want companies to consider ESG, you know, environmental, social, governance factors in their decisions. Prudentials dip their toes in, but they'll need to go deeper to show they're serious about sustainable investing, responsible business practices.
It's not just about profits anymore. It's about doing business the right way. Thinking about the impact on the planet, on society.
Exactly. And that's a trend that's here to stay. Consumers are paying attention. They want to support companies that share their values.
It's like a financial ecosystem. The companies that adapt, evolve, those are the ones that'll thrive. The ones clinging to the old ways, well, they might not make it.
Powerful image. And Prudential gets that. They're not just sitting back waiting for things to change. They're shaping their own future. Embracing innovation, prioritizing sustainability, expanding globally.
This has been a fascinating deep dive into Prudential Financial. Feels like we've really gotten under the hood, understood how they operate, their strategy, what the future might hold for them.
We went beyond those headlines, those quarterly numbers, and really dug into what makes this company tick. Definitely learned some valuable things along the way.
So what's your final takeaway for our listener? What should they be thinking about after this deep dive?
I'd say Prudential is a company on the move. They've got challenges, sure, like everyone else in this industry, but they're also grabbing those opportunities. Their strategic decisions, their risk management, their focus on innovation, it all suggests they're well positioned to handle whatever comes next. They're going to come out stronger, more resilient.
A company to keep our eyes on then.
Absolutely. This deep dive gave us plenty to think about, and I'm sure Prudential's future will be just as dynamic and interesting as their recent past.
Well said. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into Prudential Financial. We'll be back soon with another exploration of the business and finance world. Until then, stay curious, keep learning, and as always, dive deep.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening. This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.